3 years earlier, Taryn Simon, a noted photographer, traveled the country profiling exonerees for a book she planned to publish. She took pictures of Ron and Dennis and included a short summary of their case. Each was asked to write or say a few words to accompany his photograph. Ron said, "I hope I go to neither heaven nor hell. I wish that at the time of my death that I could go to sleep and never wake up and never have a bad dream. Eternal rest, like you've seen on some tombstones, that's what I hope for, because I don't want to go through the judgment. I don't want anybody judging me again. I asked myself what was the reason for my birth when I was on death row. If I was going to have to go through all that, what was even the reason for my birth? I almost cursed my mother and dad. It was so bad. For putting me on this earth. If I had it all to do over again, I wouldn't be born." From The Innocents, Umbridge, 2003. Faced with death, though, Ron retreated slightly. He very much wanted to spend eternity in heaven. On December 4th, Annette and Renee and their families gathered around his bed for the last time and said goodbye. 3 days later, a crowd assembled at the Hayhurst Funeral Home in Broken Arrow for the memorial service. Ron's pastor, the Reverend Ted Heaston, officiated the celebration of his life. Charles Story, Ron's chaplain from prison, spoke and recalled some warm anecdotes of their time together at McAllister. Mark Barrett delivered a moving eulogy about their special friendship. Cheryl Pilot read a letter sent in by Barry Sheck, who was occupied with not one, but two exonerations elsewhere. The casket was open. The pale, gray-haired old man was resting peacefully. His baseball jacket, glove, and bat were arranged on the casket, and beside it was his guitar. The music included two gospel classics, "I'll Fly Away" and "He Set Me Free," hymns Ron learned as a child and sang his entire life at revivals and church camps, at his mother's funeral with chains around his ankles, at death row during his darkest days, at Annette's the night he was set free. Toe-tapping music, the songs loosened up the crowd and made everyone smile. The service was sad, obviously, but there was a strong sense of relief. A tragic life was over, and the one who'd lived it had now gone on to better things. This was what Ronnie had prayed for. He was finally free. Later that afternoon, his mourners reassembled in Ada for the burial. A heartwarming number of the family's friends from the town gathered to honor his passing. Out of respect to the Carter family, Annette chose a different cemetery from the one where Debbie was buried. It was a cold and windy day, December 7th, 2004, exactly 22 years since Debbie was last seen alive. The coffin was hauled into place by the pallbearers, a group that included Bruce Liebe and Dennis Fritz. After a few final words from a local minister, a prayer, and some more tears, the last farewell was given. Permanently etched on his tombstone are the words, "Ronald Keith Williamson, born February 3rd, 1953, died December 4th, 2004, strong survivor, wrongly convicted in 1988, exonerated April 15th, 1999.